We're going to share today about learning who we are in Christ. The moment we're born again, I believe that all of us have a hunger inside of us to learn, to please God, to find out who we are, to walk in our calling, to fulfill our place in the body of Christ. And when we go through battles and struggles in life, that we want to have answers on how to get victory in every area that we face. Everything the devil throws at us, everything of our mistakes, everything from the past, everything that life throws at us, we have answers that come from God. And God isn't trying to hide those answers from us. He wants to give us the answer so we can walk in victory and have victory in this life. In John chapter 3, here's what he tells Nicodemus. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now this is a very important verse because he's telling Nicodemus, now, a Pharisee, a man of God in the Old Testament, an old covenant man of God, he's not born again, but he tells Nicodemus that until you're born again, no one can see the kingdom of God. So he can't even show him things because he's not born again. And why this is important is because it tells us that God has never changed. God is always the same. He's been the same forever and will always be the same. But he was unable to share secrets and wisdom with men until they were born again. But once they're born again, that they can begin to see the kingdom of God. And that's what he wants you and I to know, that if you're born again, now you can see the kingdom of God. He's not trying to hide any secrets from you. We're going to read some verses today, and I want to just show at the heart of our relationship with God that every answer you need, every bit of wisdom you need for anything you go through, for your calling, for your family, for your finances, for your health, in overcoming sin, in every battle, everything you need, God has the answer. And he's not trying to hide the answer from you. He's not trying to withhold the answer from you. There has to be a transformation. There has to be a passing of information from him to you. Let's read in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 17. I'll start in verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God, here's the verse, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceedingly greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. So the prayer is that God will open your eyes, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you can see all these things, the promises and the power of God in your life. God wants to share wisdom with you. He contains the wisdom. He is the one who holds the wisdom. But he's not trying to withhold it from you. He wants to share all the answers you need. Many believers, they stop seeking God. They serve God, but they stop seeking God for answers and they start to go to the world for answers. And every bit of knowledge and wisdom that the world holds will come to an end. The answer it has for your health, the answer it has for your finances, the answer it has for you and your calling and serving God, the answer you get from the world on your family, your marriages, children, people with grandchildren, the answers that you need for your family, the answers you need for overcoming sin, emotionally, how to overcome things, all the answers the world can give you will only come to a dead end at one point. The world's wisdom and the world's knowledge will stop. It has an ending in this world. It can't finish what you need. God's wisdom, though, lasts forever. It's always right, it's never wrong, and it lasts for eternity. So I'd rather go to God for wisdom than to man for wisdom. But many believers, they stop seeking God for wisdom and they start going to the world for wisdom. And you may hear things like, hey, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. And I think what they're trying to say is, when you're praying and seeking God and you start acting crazy, that you got a little heavenly minded. And that makes sense. But listen, there's wisdom that comes from God that the world does not understand. God has wisdom for you, and we're not to make fun of that wisdom. We're not to make short of it. We're to seek Him. We're to long after His advice and His direction. We're to seek after that because that is the answers for our future and for every battle we face. The enemy knows how to cut short the wisdom that comes from man. I'm going to read another verse in Proverbs chapter 2. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, and I'm going to share some verses. You can turn with me if you want to, but I'll just read them out. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." The Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 20, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His." In verse 28, he says, "But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets and has made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar." But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. God has wisdom about everything. Think about just how brilliant God is. He created the universe with His words. He created life. He created the earth. He created everything. He put everything together. He's amazing. And He wants to take that same knowledge, that same wisdom that He has. God, your Father, wants to take the wisdom that He has, that He used to create this incredible universe. And He wants to focus all that wisdom and knowledge onto your circumstance, onto your problem. He wants to focus it onto your life and give you advice. Why would we go to the world for advice? The world has great advice, but again, the world's wisdom, the world's motivation always comes to an end. And I believe that it's time for us to root out the wisdom of the world that has crept into the church. I believe the church as a whole has allowed the world's wisdom and the world's opinion to creep into our doors and into our philosophies, into our thinking. And it's intermingled with the wisdom that came from God. And we have some kind of a weird hybrid of Christianity. And I think it's time, I believe it's time for us as a church to uproot and root out that wisdom of the world and get it out of the church. Too much advice in the church today is just like the world's advice. Advice for your marriage, advice for your family, advice for health, advice for emotional questions, advice for serving God. The world's wisdom will always come to an end. But God's wisdom, it lasts forever. In James chapter 1, verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." God's not trying to withhold wisdom from you, or advice from you, or direction from you. He wants to share it with you. There's a transfer of His wisdom, of His knowledge, that He wants to pass over from His mind to your mind. That is God's heart for you. It's not just for the preachers. It's not just for the apostles or evangelists or prophets. It's for all of us, for every believer, for his sons and his daughters. If we ask him, he wants to share this wisdom with us. He told Nicodemus, you can't see it until you're born again. But the moment you're born again, you now can understand the things of God. So what changed about you that allows you to understand God after you're born again compared to before you're born again? Well, we now know that you and I received a new nature from Christ. We received the nature of life. And because we have that nature of life, our inner man is alive. Our inner body is brought to light and alive. So now we can actually comprehend and understand the things of God, but before we were born again, we couldn't. How important is it for us, for you and for me, to spend time with God to learn from him? If I can convince you today that he is the only one who can help you, that other people can help you temporarily, they can encourage you, they can give you their opinion, but opinions to God only matter if they line up with his opinion. The only opinion in this world that really matters to you and to me, that should matter, is what does God think about this situation? What is God's advice for me in this moment? If you think you're too small and God is ignoring you, that's wrong. He does not ignore you. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows how you got in that mess, even if it's your fault. He knows what's coming. He knows what the devil's got planned for you, even before the devil knows what he's got planned for you. God knows everything about you, and he wants to walk you into victory. He wants to walk us into victory through this life. And if you think you're too small, that why would God share things with me? Why would God teach me things? And you go looking somewhere else, you're missing the point. He loves you. You're his child, and he wants you and I to have victory. He wants our life to rock this world, to change this world. He wants to change the world around us, through us. He loves you. He believes in you, and you have a call in your life. Don't cut yourself short. You might be lazy. Maybe we're lazy, and we don't want to spend the time seeking God, spending time with God. We just want someone to prophesy to us. Just lay hands on me, preacher. Just give me a word. Somebody tell me what to do. Well, if you're going to take the time to get someone to tell you what to do, it might as well be God, because he knows everything and he wants to share his secrets, his advice, his wisdom for you. And his wisdom lasts forever. I'm going to read out of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2. I'll start in verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are all hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So in the Father, in Christ, all wisdom, all treasures of knowledge, all understanding for your life, for your victory, the mysteries of the universe, the mysteries for you, the mysteries for Alan, are hidden in Christ. That's where they're hidden. We have to go and get that advice, that wisdom from him, that he will transfer truth from his mind to our mind. Understanding from his mind to our mind. It's not your natural mind. It's your spiritual mind that is alive now because you're born again. That's what's changed, what allows God to share with you the truth that he couldn't share with you before you were born again. I remember one time I was preaching. At the time I was young and really more of a performance type preacher. And I would do healing lines. I had a healing crusade. And everyone who was sick would line up. I'd bring them up to the altar. Come stand at the altar if you want prayer. And I remember this one church I was preaching at. And there was a long line of people. All of them came up and had their hands up as I... And I remember the stage had steps going up to the stage from the auditorium. And I was walking along the first step. So I was about 6 inches higher than everyone else and could see over their heads. And as I was walking along, I'd walk along and lay my hands on them. And I'd say, be healed in Jesus' name. And the power of God would hit them and they'd fall down. And then I'd go to the next one, be healed in Jesus' name. Then to the next one, you're healed in Jesus' name. And to the next one, you're healed in Jesus' name. And the power of God was hitting them and they were falling out. And we had many great reports and testimonies in those years of people being healed. Well, I was halfway through the line. And as I stood there, the Lord spoke to me. And when I say He spoke to me, He spoke to my heart. He spoke to my inner man. And I understood He was speaking to me. And He said to me, "You don't love these people." And I stopped. And it's funny how you can be preaching and ministering and still having a conversation with God at the same time. And I said, "What do you mean I don't love these people? I love these people. I'm here serving them and praying for them and laying my life down for them. What do you mean I don't love these people?" And I was right in the middle. So to my right was a whole line of people laid on the floor, some weeping, some just receiving. And to my left was a whole long line of people waiting for me to pray for them. And the Lord said to me, "You don't love these people." He said, "You don't know which ones that you prayed for and said, 'Be healed,' or 'You are healed.' You don't know which ones are going to keep their healing. You don't know which ones received it and maybe didn't receive it. You just prayed for them and moved on." And I remember years ago when I was with Norval Hayes, how he told me he got a phone call from a minister, a healing evangelist, and said, "Brother Norval, I need you to travel with me in my ministry. I want you to pray about coming with me and taking a morning service in the mornings and teaching the people how to keep their healing." And he said, "Brother Norval, we have many marvelous miracles, many marvelous healings in our crusades, in our night meetings, but our ministry gets phone calls sometimes the next day, sometimes the next week, sometimes the next month. We get many phone calls of people who've lost their healing and they call wondering what to do. They've lost their healing. The devil came back or the enemy came back and our sickness came back and it left. They had it in the crusade and they lost it, not to count the people who came to the crusade and did not receive a healing." Brother Norval said, "Oh, Benny, I'd love to come, but I have my own ministry." And Brother Norval always said, "You can't learn something from someone who doesn't know anything." And all of us preachers, all of us men and women who are preachers, can give the best advice we can. But wouldn't it be better if we taught people how to go to God and get the answer? Shouldn't that be the main role of us preachers, is teaching people how they can go to God and He will give them the answer? What a beautiful thing to have people develop a relationship with their Heavenly Father without the preachers in the middle. What a beautiful thing that will be one day. And so as I was standing there in that prayer line and having a conversation with God, I paused in the middle, and on my right was all the people laying there. A compassion came on me for the brokenness of people. That day changed my ministry. It changed the way I saw people. It changed the way I saw the Word of God, how important it was. It changed the way I ministered, because from that day forward, instead of looking for a good service, a good experience, I began to make it my heart and mission to help people to grow in the knowledge of God. Because the knowledge of God, you take home with you. See, if I can teach you how to get to God, how to know God, how to find your answer from God, you never need me again. You have your answers for the rest of your life. That's powerful. Rather than teaching you how to come to me for a word, come to me for prayer, come to me to teach you, that's okay at the beginning because everyone needs a little help along the way. But we're only supposed to be helpers. We're not supposed to be in front of you, in between you and God. Ministers are to be beneath you, lifting you up and encouraging you to have your own relationship with God and helping you to find out how to do that and how to find the answers that you need. Because life can throw you some hard hits, and you need to know God is for you and never against you. You need to know that He has answers for you and He's wanting to share it with you. We're going to read another verse. Let's go over to Romans. Romans chapter 11. In Romans 11, verse 33. Paul writes, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God." The depth of the riches, both the wisdom and knowledge of God. See, if we think ourselves too small, and we don't look in Scripture and find out that now that I'm born again, something changed in me that's allowing God to transfer His wisdom, His mysteries, His secrets, the unsearchable things, now He can transfer them to me, not just through His service, not through a message from another man, but from you personally. God can now share and open your eyes, the eyes of your understanding. He can now open those eyes so you can see and understand the answers that you need in everything in your life. The world can give you answers, and many believers, maybe because they're lazy, maybe because they feel it's too much work, is I'm too impatient, I want a quick answer right now. And God's teaching is like anyone. When God teaches us, when my children are young and I take them to school, I mean, Harrison's 15 right now, Ava, she's 12. And let me tell you, every day that they've been in school, I pick them up and I'll talk to how was school? Good. What'd you learn? Nothing. It's like, what do you mean you learn nothing? You got to tell me something. And trying to get them to share anything out of their day is like pulling teeth. It's a difficult thing. But they learn something because they know 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They know 1 + 1 = 2. They know their ABCs. They've learned somewhere. They learned something in all those classes, but they can't pinpoint what they learned. Let me ask you, when did you learn your ABCs? Do you remember the day? Do you remember the hour? See, that's a knowledge that you've learned by spending time in class. Well, that's how God wants to share with us too. He shares with us wisdom and knowledge that sometimes isn't, oh, that's so great. Sometimes it's just very practical and simple, and it builds. Knowledge builds on knowledge that comes from God. Spiritual knowledge comes from God. Spiritual knowledge is what we're after. And the only place we're going to find that is in Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, one of our core verses here that we've been talking about. I will start in verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, for who are coming to nothing. So Paul is saying the wisdom that we share isn't from this world. We don't discredit the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom of the world will not allow you, will not take you to your calling. The wisdom that you can get from the world will always come to an end in your life. But the wisdom that you get from God is everlasting. It lasts forever. And what changed in me that day when I had that prayer line was I started to care enough for people that I wanted to make sure they had answers or had knowledge on how to get the answers from God for every situation. Instead of just having a prayer line and leaving them whatever condition they were in. And knowledge from God, I look at truth that comes from God, spiritual truth. I look at it like a brick of knowledge, that once you get it into your spirit man, that brick of knowledge stays there for eternity. And now because you got the first brick of knowledge in you, then God can help you find another brick of knowledge that goes on top of that. But you can't get to the second until you get to the first. And so knowledge is built like understanding. Understanding is when someone says, "Do you understand?" You understand. When I talk to my children and I tell them, you know, I'll look at them in their face and say, "Okay, this is what I need you to do." And I'll explain to them, 1, 2, 3, this is how I need you to do this. And they'll look at me and go, Do you understand? And then, okay, go do a good job. And then I come back and they did everything wrong. "Hey, I told you to do this. I did it the way exactly how you told me to, Daddy." "No, you didn't." See, they didn't understand. They heard me, but they didn't really listen. They didn't really understand or comprehend exactly what it was. And as a father, I should have known better. But we seem to repeat this all through the teenage years anyway. Understanding is important. Understanding means that you grasp it, you hold it, you own it, you understand why, you get it. And once you get it, it's yours. It is a gift of knowledge from God to you, and you have it for the rest of eternity. About His love, about His holiness, about His care for you, about victory over every struggle you will face in life. In life, we have struggles. We live in a fallen world. There's going to be struggles in family. There's struggles in our finances. There's struggles in our emotions. There's struggles in our calling. There's struggles in overcoming sin. There's struggles in so many areas that you will face. All of us face it. But if we know where to get the answer, if we know where to go to get the answer, then we'll never be alone to figure it out. What a sad place to live as a believer. And I hope you understand my heart today, because so many believers, they can quote the word, they know the promises of God, but they don't have the understanding of how to make the promises come to pass in their life. And I'm just like that too. I hit things in my life that I thought I had answers and faith for, but they knocked me upside the head and I struggle through it. But what I do know, in my worst battle, in my worst emotion of defeat, in struggling in areas of my life, in health and different things, I know this: God has an answer for me. He's not withholding that answer from me. He's not hiding that answer from me. He's where I want to go. He is where I want to go. Not to the world. The world can give me temporary answers, but they'll be temporary. God has answers for me. So I want to go to Him to get the answer. This isn't an anointing service I'm talking about, where you say, God, fix my problem, please. God, don't you see what I'm going through? Yes, God sees what you're going through. But He has the answer. You have to go to Him so He'll give it to you. Let's go back to Colossians. And let's read again in Colossians chapter 2. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of the understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So they contain, the Father, your Heavenly Father, contains all the wisdom in Christ, contain all the wisdom, all the knowledge, all the secrets, all the understandings for everything you and I are going to go through, everything we're facing. It may be the smallest thing. You may think it's not important, but it's important to Him. He loves you. So the question then comes, are you willing to go to Him to get the answer? And like me, you may say, well, I asked Him and I don't know if He got the answer. Well, you sound like my son. How was school today? Good. What'd you learn? Nothing. See, you can't spend time with God and not learn something. You can't spend time. You may not understand yet what you've learned, but if you spend time with God, you're learning something. And that takes me to another very important verse in 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, to turn there if you have your Bible with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Because here in chapter 14, it tells us one of the ways that God transfers His knowledge and understanding to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. So here he's talking about and dividing spiritual truths. There is a source of wisdom for you, and that's the world. But there's another source for you, and that is God. That is spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom is different the natural wisdom. They may look similar sometimes, but they're different. They come from two different sources. The natural wisdom will always come to an end, but spiritual wisdom never changes, and it lasts forever. It'll work forever. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, we're going to hold our finger there and go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eyes not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us. So now that we're born again, the mysteries, the secrets that God had, men could not understand or comprehend until we were saved. See, before salvation, God's never changed. So what's changed that allows us now to receive the mysteries and the wisdom from God is that you're born again and your inner man is alive. You now are alive with Christ in you, and you have a spiritual ability to understand spiritual truths that God will teach you spirit to spirit. But God, verse 10, has revealed them to us through his Spirit. That's not talking about the Holy Spirit. That's talking about through your inner man, through the new nature. Because of the new nature, your inner man now is alive, and now you can grasp and hold on to and understand spiritual things. Before you were born again, you were not in the same, you were not part of God's family. But now that you're born again, you are in God's family. Now that you're born again, you have his nature alive in you, and that nature brought to life your inner man. You can now hold on to the truth and wisdom and understanding that only can come from God. And many times when he teaches you spirit to spirit, let's keep reading. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So the moment you're saved, your inner man starts to search, not just for shallow, it says here, the deep things of God. You have in you already a hunger for truths. But if you feel that you're irrelevant or you're too small for God to take the time to sit down and teach you, then you won't try to learn. If you're lazy and just want someone to feed you and tell you what to do, you won't fulfill that desire. But in you right now, as a born-again believer, is a deep desire to find the deep things of God. And then he says, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man, which is in him, talking about the old nature? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God. The things that are freely given to us by God, that we might know. God wants you to know. He wants you to know how to have victory, how to receive victory in every battle, victory in everything. Many people think that faith means I don't have any struggles. If I don't have a battle, I have faith. That's not true. Faith is not the absence of battles. Faith is what we use to walk through our battles to the victory that God's given to us. And that faith is built on knowledge that comes from God, spiritual knowledge that comes from God. You and I cannot get the impossible spiritual knowledge from the world. The world cannot give you the impossible. The world cannot give you spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge, the impossible knowledge, only comes from the mind of God, from the throne room of God. Natural world, natural answers, possible answers can come from the world. And the world has many opinions. People have many opinions and will give you a million reasons and million opinions on how you should answer your trouble. But understand, God is the place. God has the wisdom inside of him, and he wants to share it with you. He's not holding it back. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The Holy Spirit wants to teach you and give you spiritual answers, spiritual wisdom of spiritual truths. A spiritual truth isn't goosebumps. It's not an anointing. It's not emotions. Sometimes we make spiritual things just too crazy instead of what it is. A spiritual truth is A, B, C, but it's taught from God to your inner man. And so the only thing your inner man will understand, the only thing your inner man hungers after, is knowledge that comes from God. It may not make any sense to the world or to your natural mind, but to your inner man it does. I was in Nicaragua one time, in Managua, and we were preaching. Someone came up to us and said, "We have something really powerful from God, really spiritual." And they took me to this house, and this house had a line of people and roped off, and so we got in line and we got into the house. And inside the house was a Bible, and they had it covered in plexiglass so you can see it, but you couldn't touch it. And this Bible was oozing oil. Oil was coming out of it. It was a sign and a wonder, they said. It was supernatural. It was a spiritual touch of God. I actually saw oil come out of it. It may have been a trick. It didn't make me excited. I wasn't excited to see a Bible that oozed oil. Because, see, when I started to learn what God means by spiritual truths, it's not just the sensational things. It's not gold dust or gems falling from heaven or angel feathers or oil that comes from a Bible. That is not more powerful than God teaching you who you are from His mind to your mind. Spiritual truth is as simple as that. It's like when I talk to my son, "How was your day, son?" "Good. What'd you learn?" "I don't know." See, when you go into the spiritual things of God and are waiting for something dramatic, something amazing, something powerful that is exciting, and you get something simple, don't discredit the simple, because they are what builds to the next step. You need the first to get to the second. So now I'm back in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God. For no one understands him, however, in the spirit he speaks mysteries." So when you speak to God, it says that in tongues, it says that you're speaking to God directly in a heavenly language. And what you're saying is you're speaking mysteries. Well, as Pastor Dave always says, so what mysteries are you sharing with God that He doesn't know before time began? See, the mysteries that you're speaking out are for you to know, for you to learn. Well, what kind of mysteries are they? Are they for your life, for your calling, for your situations, for your battles, for your family, for your finances? This is one of the main ways that God transports and transfers His knowledge from His mind to your mind when you speak in tongues. And when you speak in tongues, it says the Holy Spirit gives you utterance. That means that He tells you what to say. It's like when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit writes out a prayer, and then He asks you to share that prayer. And as you share that prayer, as you pray in tongues, you're praying a perfect prayer full of mysteries and knowledge. But that mystery is not for God. He already knows it. The Holy Spirit, God, is the one who wrote it down for you to say and to pray it out. And as you say it, what's happening is you're filling your spiritual man. Your inner man's spiritual mind is now alive, and it now can grasp the truth. That's why He told Nicodemus, until you're born again, you'll not see the kingdom of God. You can't see it until you're born again, because when you're born again, it brought to life your inner man, and now God can speak to you truths because you can receive it and understand it. So when you pray in the Spirit, you pray mysteries, you're speaking out mysteries, revelation. And that revelation, those mysteries, those secrets, those hidden treasures of knowledge that are in God, they're for you. They're for your life. They're for your future. And you might be like a teenager and say, "I don't know what I learned. I spent 2 hours praying in tongues and I don't feel like I learned anything." But you learn something, and that something is powerful because it is building to the next thing. Trust the Word of God. And then finally in verse 14 of chapter 14. Verse 14, chapter 14. I'm getting excited here. I want to go pray in tongues. Because it is one of the main ways that God transfers the knowledge that's in Him into you. And if you think you're too insignificant, if you think you're too small, if you hear yourself say, well, I'm not called to be an apostle, a prophet, or an evangelist, so God won't share those things with me. I'm not outgoing. I'm not smart. All that's a lie from the devil trying to belittle you, trying to get you to stop seeking truth from the one who wants to give it to you. God wants to share. You're His child. He wants to share with you the wisdom and the knowledge and the secrets of the universe. And more important, the secrets of how to be successful in your calling, in your walk, and how to overcome everything you're going through. When you know this, when you understand this, and when you understand who you are, when you understand the way that God sees you, and you hit something in life that doesn't fit with the Word, you hit a health problem, you hit a financial problem, you hit something in life that doesn't match the promises of God, you don't give up and say, well, it's not for me, I guess it's for someone else. You don't quit, say, well, it's not for me, I guess it's for someone else. You don't get lazy and hey, someone pray for me, someone give me a word. You say, hey, there's some knowledge that I need to learn that I don't have, but I know where to get that knowledge. I have a Father who wants to share with me the great wisdom for my life and for my problem. God, my Father, has hidden secrets that He wants to give to me. To me. Not because I'm called to a calling, not because I'm called in the body, not because I've been to Bible college or trained or anything like that, or I'm anointed, but because I am born of Him. I'm His child, and He wants to share His wisdom to me. See, that's when you face your problem. You look at your struggle and say, you're in trouble, because I know where to get the answer to trouble. Problem, struggle, battle. I'm not intimidated by you anymore. I'm not afraid of you, because God's not abandoned me. He has the answer. I'm going to run to God instead of run away from God. In verse 14, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. This is your prayer language. Not the tongue for the church service, not the one for interpretation for a church service. This is your personal prayer language, which every believer can have. Verse 14, for when I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. This is simply telling you that when you pray in tongues, whether it be for 30 minutes or for an hour or 5 hours, however long you want, you can have as much of God as you want. You can't pray in tongues too much. When someone says, if you pray in tongues too much, you can get weird. That's because they're looking at you with the knowledge of the world, and they don't understand what's working in you. But things start working in you when you pray in tongues. We want to be peculiar. We want to be different from the world, because our answers don't come from this world. Christians, listen, too much of the world's wisdom, motivation, advice has crept into the church. And many of our churches today, and I'm not picking on any church, but many of our churches today are built with knowledge that comes from the world. If you went to a motivational speaker, you would learn sometimes the same things. You just add "in God's name" at the end of it. But there's, and I don't want to belittle that, because if it's encouraging to you, that's great. But all the wisdom that comes from the world, no matter where and who it came out of, doesn't matter what culture, how long it's been around, it will come to an end. It can't get you through the devil's attacks. The wisdom of the world cannot get you through the warfare the enemy has against your calling. The wisdom of the world cannot get you to heaven. It can't get you to finish your calling. It can't get you to the impossible. The wisdom of this world, the knowledge of this world, comes to an end. It can't help you long term. But the wisdom that comes from God, it lasts forever, and nothing can stop it. The devil's afraid of it, and that's why he tries to get us to stop seeking God for truth and start seeking the world for truth. So when we pray in tongues, it says it's our spirit that prays. Verse 14, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Now again, this is not When I say spirit, I want you to see it as this is my inner man. That prayer originates from the Holy Spirit telling my inner man what to pray. I pray it out, and spirit to spirit, the Holy Spirit begins to instruct me, to teach me, and it says my understanding is unfruitful. Now, I've had problems with people who are intellectual, and they come and they say, well, God doesn't want you brain dead. No, he doesn't, but he wants your natural man to shut up so your spiritual man could take over. You have a spiritual brain, a spiritual mind that can understand God, and that's where God wants us to live out of. So no, he doesn't want us brain dead, but he wants us using the right brain, the correct brain, the spiritual man, not the natural man. It's our spirit that prays, and the understanding is unfruitful. What does that mean? Well, it means that your natural brain, your natural understanding, does not understand the knowledge of God. It can't. If your natural man could understand the knowledge of God, then God would have said to Nicodemus, I'm going to teach you things. And he would have told the whole Old Testament, I'm going to teach you things, and I'm going to help you to understand. But you can't understand God with the natural man. Now, before you're born again, that's all you had was your natural understanding. But now that you're born again, your inner man is alive, your spirit man is alive, your spiritual mind is alive and light, and it can comprehend and understand the truths and wisdom of God, and God wants to share them with you. He is the source of spiritual truth, and he wants to share to you spirit to spirit. He wants to share with you bricks of knowledge of spiritual truth that are gems, that are gold, that will stick with you for the rest of eternity. And they won't ever fail you. They'll never go wrong. They're always right. The word and wisdom of this world will come to an end. It has an ending point. But God's wisdom, it never ends. It never fails. It's always correct. And God wants to share it with you. But he can't just give it to you. James says we have to ask. And here we see how he likes to transfer that wisdom, just by praying in tongues. And many of us have said, well, I prayed in tongues for hours and I don't feel any different. Well, that's like my son. How was first grade? No, I don't know. It was good. How was second grade? Good. What'd you learn? I don't know. Well, can you teach me something? Well, you know, so-and-so threw a spitball at someone else. They remember that stuff, but they don't remember the teacher teaching them A, B, C. But now that he's 15, he knows his ABCs. He knows his math better than I do. When I try to teach him math, I get lost. I don't understand how to teach him math. He can teach me better than I can teach him. They must have a new math. I don't know how it works. But he knows it. Well, where did he learn it? He can't pinpoint where he learned it, but he learned it in all his classes. Get in the classroom with the Holy Spirit. Sit down with the teacher, the Holy Spirit, and let him teach you spirit to spirit by taking time praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in that prayer language. And God will share with you the deep secrets, the deep revelation of God. Where are they? They're hidden in him, and he wants them to come forth and go into you. This is more important than getting prophecies, more important than getting some man to lay hands on you, more important than anointing, more important than really anything is you learning how to sit down and learn the knowledge that God has for you about who you are and how to overcome your battles, because your battles are personal. Your battles are what you're going through. And he's not abandoned you. He's not left you alone. He takes pleasure in walking with you through your struggles, through your situations, always into victory. So you and him could turn and rub it into the devil's face and say, you thought you had me, sucker, but you didn't. I've won. Because God taught me how to win. When I had that prayer line and God told me, you don't love these people, I was shocked because I thought I did love them. And I was ministering and people were healed. But I couldn't tell you how many of them left all those services back then and kept their healing. I couldn't tell you how many got into the parking lot or a month later, the enemy came back and put a pain on them and they did not know how to fight because I didn't teach them how to go to God to get the wisdom and the knowledge. So inside of them was the fight. I don't have to put up with this devil. You're a liar. I don't need some preacher. I don't need to call a preacher to pray for me. I have it in me because I've went to God and he taught me who I am. And that's the relationship God wants with you and me. Outside of ministry, outside of church, outside of everything, I want you to realize your Father wants you to sit with the Holy Spirit. Sit with Him so He can teach you. The Holy Spirit, the teacher, the comforter, the helper, the guide, can teach you wisdom and truth. Open the eyes of your understanding to know the hidden things of God, to realize how much He loves you, how much He believes in you, how much He cares for you, to know how to walk in victory in every battle that you go through. He is for you, not against you. He loves you. Let's grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God. Let's spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's go to God to get our answers. God bless you. Thank you for spending time with me. I appreciate you. I love you. God bless you.